You're listening to Trek FM.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Commentary, Trek Stars, a show which deals with the work of Star Trek creators outside of Star Trek. Today is part 3 in our look at Damon Lindelof as a movie writer, where we are going to be covering Prometheus. I'm Mike.
I'm Space Jesus.
And today we're joined by Mehul. How's it going?
Doing good, thanks.
All right, now people can find Mehul on our show, on our other thingy, Commentary Track Stars. You've been on a number of our commentaries, including our recent season finale, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Let's not forget Point Break.
Point Break, you're on that. You're on 2010. You're on Terminator Salvation.
Let us not forget Point Break.
A number of other things. So head on over there if you want to hear more, Mehul. So, Mehul, what is your relationship with Star Trek? I know that you jumped on the Star Trek bandwagon kind of
Star
late.
Star Trek. And you're not
that tremendously on board with the whole thing, but...
No, with Star Trek, I love the original movies, the Genesis trilogy, and as I've mentioned, I love the... original series first season. I've watched bits and pieces of Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, etc. But I'm not really a Trekkie.
What about Damon Lindelof? Since this is a series on Damon Lindelof, what are your thoughts on that guy?
Based on Prometheus?
Well, no, let's not base it on Prometheus. Let's base it on the whole.
Base it on what he likes to base things on.
Okay.
Right. I have to base it on Prometheus because that's what I feel like his hands been on. I feel like I don't like the guy because of that. Lost, I think, a big fan of Lost. I watch all of Lost. Actually, not a big fan of Lost. I do like Lost. But I feel like the other writers on Lost may have made it better rather than Lindelof. If that makes any sense.
I can see what you're saying. So Prometheus, just to give a basic synopsis for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's a prequel to Alien, directed by Ridley Scott.
Also Humanity.
Yeah.
Oh, and Idiocy.
Okay, it's directed by Ridley Scott, who directed the original Alien. And basically it involves a group of scientists who...
People who say they're scientists.
Okay, a group of people who say they're scientists who leave Earth in the search for search of their creator. It is a prequel to Alien, and it is an attempt on sort of a base level of explaining the space jockey. It's an interesting...
How you're trying to explain it in a way that isn't spoilery, but the result is that it sounds even slightly dumber than it actually is.
Okay, all right. All right, but I mean, the concept for it is weird for a prequel in that, for example, Alien is not even in the title, and that's a calculated decision because it is a prequel to Alien.
It's a calculated evasion.
It's a prequel to Alien without any aliens in it.
Well,
for all intents and purposes. Okay?
For most intents and purposes.
Okay.
For a good percentage of purposes.
There's actually quite a few aliens in this film.
But not in the traditional xenomorph sense.
Don't. Damn it! Anything alien is a xenomorph.
Okay.
Cloverfield, xenomorph.
Okay.
All right. You know what it didn't have? A freaking egg gestating thing.
I understand, but you know what I mean when
I do, and I also know that that is ruining the world.
Okay, we can't swear on this one. Can you please keep this in mind? Okay.
Just don't misuse a scientific term when I'm trying to make a point about how this movie ruins science.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. Let's all calm down for a second. Because we're only through the synopsis right now, okay? So let's simmer down.
I am effing simmered.
Okay.
So simmered, man.
Okay, calm.
Can't even get me started on how relaxed and calm I am.
Okay. So, Mehul, what were your thoughts on Prometheus?
Disappointed. I don't know. I expected a lot from this film based on, Ridley Scott. I assume, because I did like all his films. I did like K Kingdom of Heaven was one of my favorite films for the last few years, so I assumed to put just as much attention into it. But what I got was a generic horror movie.
So your main disappointment is that it didn't become something more. It just basically fell into the classic horror
the cliche. Yeah, it fell into the cliche, and it went on in that cliche, and that's what it is in the end.
I personally enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I was looking forward to it a whole lot, probably more than anyone else here, because, you know, in addition to being a huge Ridley Scott fan, I am a huge Alien fan. And, you know, sort of everything that I heard about this movie going into it were things which really sort of piqued my interest. I'm a really big fan of the idea of making a movie in the same reality, but not feeling dependent on the elements which make that reality or that franchise famous. You know, I would love to see, like, for example, you know, Brandon Braga has recently been talking about how the original concept for season one of Enterprise was for it to take place on Earth, you know, before the launch, you know, and then the ship would launch at, like, during the season finale or something. And I love the idea of that, you know, the idea of an Earthbound Star Trek show, you know, that kind of thing really intrigues me. So when, you know, word started coming out that, you know, there's going to be a prequel to Alien with no aliens in it, I was like, I am there. I am so on board. It's not even funny. And the fact that Ridley Scott himself was directing it, it just made it all the better. And the trailers looked fantastic, and I couldn't wait to see this movie. And when I saw it, my initial reaction was very, very positive. And upon repeated viewings, my acclaim for this movie has gone down. I no longer think it's a great movie, although I do still think it's a really good movie. I definitely see problems with it, but I see a lot of good in it as well. It's kind of like Darth Vader.
I felt that coming.
Oh my god.
With my force powers, I knew that was coming.
Now, Max,
mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Prometheus?
Well, I think that Prometheus is a terrible movie, which is barely scratching the surface on what I think is wrong with it. It's not only a bad movie, it's also a movie that is bad for people. It's depiction of not only biology and the sciences depicted in the movie, but just of scientists in the movie is so aggressively idiotic that when we were talking about this, it took me a long time to believe that it wasn't intentional. I assumed that because it was so incredibly shockingly stupid that it must have been on purpose. And I am surprised that this level of incompetence is actually capable of being done unintentionally. I'm astonished that this many people can fail to make something smart on this scale. I am, frankly, astonished at how stupid it is. I want it to be malevolent. I want it to be an intentional thing that Ridley Scott is trying to make people feel that science is nonsense and discount it. Because evil makes more sense than just all of those people going, I don't understand why this is happening, and I'm not going to say anything about it, and I'm not going to point out the 10,000 things that are really idiotic happening in this script, on this set, what the director is telling us to do. I'm not going to draw attention to any of that stuff. Because that level of cowardice and hubris, I find more terrifying than one person being malevolent and in opposition to scientific knowledge and fact and awareness and intelligence.
You know, I recently found a quote from Damon Lindelof, and I wish I would have written it down for these purposes. I didn't. I apologize. But they were someone was asking him about, you know, essentially how it was different writing for Star Trek compared to, you know, Prometheus, you know, both being science fiction, but if there were different challenges involved or whatever. And he was basically talking about how Star Trek is much more of a space fantasy than Alien is, and that Alien tends to adhere to a certain level of science and scientific plausibility that is generally lacking in Star Trek. The example of that he gave of that was, you know, in Star Trek, if you want to get from point A to point B, you use warp drive, whereas in Alien, if you want to get from point A to point B, you need to go into cryostasis. As someone who doesn't look at movies with a scientific mind, the scientific inaccuracies in Prometheus never bothered me until the two of you started pointing them out to me. But I mean, like me personally, like if I were to be making this movie, and let's say that my level of scientific knowledge is the same as Damon Lindelof and Ridley Scott's appear to be, I would bring on some consultants and try to get the science as accurate as I could.
They had the money to get consultants
in. Well, sure. But, I mean, there's, like, a lot of it where it seems like they, you know, like, some of the problems that you pointed out and stuff like that, they're things where it's like, there's no reason not to change it, you know? It really just feels more sloppy than anything.
I think Ridley Scott is to blame for Prometheus, everything that went wrong in the film. If you watch the documentary on, the Furious Ghost documentary on the Blu-ray, it's clear how much control he has. He was making decisions that even, you know, John Spates didn't agree with, but he had to go with because Spates wasn't established.
Now, John, just to clarify, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but John Spates was the original writer on the film. And Damon Lindelof came in after the fact and rewrote his script, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mehul, you've read the original John Spates script. Well, first off, okay, let me back this up. In some ways, this is, I would say, probably more of a pure incarnation of Lindelof as a writer than Cowboys and Aliens was, because even though both had a team of writers involved. I mean, this had Spates come on before Lindelof, and it is obviously a prequel to a pre-existing franchise and everything like that. Cowboys and Aliens had numerous people writing, numerous drafts, and even the draft that Lindelof worked on was co-written by Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci. So to me, this is much more pure Lindelof. I think if you want to get an example of what his work is as a writer in relation to himself and not others, this is a prime example of it. But Mehul, you've read John Spates' original script. So as someone who's read that and seen the movie, what were the differences? What were the elements which Lindelof added?
I think Lindelof added a lot of, he added a lot of spirituality, I think. Spates' script was very much an Alien prequel. It ticked all the boxes. You understood, because it was set on LV-46.
Yeah.
From the original movie. It explained everything about the space jockey, and it all made sense. It was all cool. You know, it was like, it's still clearly a first early draft, so a bit more time it could have been better, but it worked as an Alien prequel, and I had no problems with it when I was reading it. And I liked the build-up as well. It wasn't just like in the film, what happens is they see the cave paintings and we cut straight to space. In the script, they go to Wayland, they pitch it, and there's more of a build-up. I think that was important. It's important to build up to something as important as, you know, discovering this space jockey, et cetera.
Yeah.
But you don't get that in the film. In the film, you just cut straight to it. And then it becomes a standard horror film. That's the problem I have.
like when you hear about that and you hear that that they're developing this this prequel, and then, you know, they come out with a, you know, press release or whatever in the Hollywood Reporter or whatever it was and say, like, okay, Damon Lindelof is on, and now this thing which was an Alien prequel is now, as they were calling it, you know, like a standalone science fiction movie, it has grown into something else which isn't Alien, you start thinking, like, it's not going to be your typical horror movie. It's going to you know, expand it, because it almost feels like this Alien box is too small for the issues that we want to deal with. We're going to bust it open and you know, achieve something more. So, like, when I first heard that, and there was no indication originally that it would still take place in Alien continuity, on one level I was disappointed, because the nerd in me wants everything to take place in the same continuity. But at the same time, like, I had this sort of internal logic which told me, like, well, this is going to end up being a better movie because they're
wrong.
Not because they're not limited by any sort of restraints. And what you're describing to me at least seems like something which was a lot less traditional.
Look, I don't think the Spate script would be imperfect. They've made the film as it was. I don't think it would be great. It'd be average. But if I saw that film made, I'd be satisfied.
More satisfied than what we ended up with? Okay.
He said satisfied.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, that's what it means.
You know, okay.
All when right, something is absolute garbage.
It's not perfect. I mean, there were problems with it. Well, what I liked about it is, and I think this would have happened either way, is that Ridley Scott would have cut out the build-up anyway. It had a great build-up. Build-up when they go into Wayland, they're petitioning for money to get the whole project to go ahead and everything.
See, that's a movie I want to watch. A movie about fundraising.
Yeah. But that's
the Kickstarter campaign.
It's kind of like In Contact when Ellie's trying to get money to get her, you know, funding to a crazy project underway.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And I think Scott would have cut it out either way.
Probably. Scott's going a little nuts with the
He has. I don't trust Ridley Scott. I think he is a bit crazy now.
Yeah.
I mean, I still consistently like the movies that I'm seeing from Ridley Scott. I mean, they're none of them have reached the heights of Alien or Blade Runner or even, I mean, the last, like, outstanding Ridley Scott movie that in my opinion is Hannibal. But I mean, like,
oh God.
Well, you know, he's made a lot of decent movies which haven't you know, moved me in the way that a lot of his earlier work has. I mean, Robin Hood was good, Body of Lies was kind of insignificant. I liked American Gangster. You know, I mean, all these things. Kingdom of Heaven, I never saw the director's cut. I guess I feel like I need to, but yeah. But Prometheus, I think, is probably his best movie since Hannibal, I would say.
No.
Sadness.
Okay.
I don't agree, but that it would be a tragedy of alien biblical proportion.
Ridley Scott, I've never thought that he's been a great storyteller. He's a great visualist.
Mm-hmm.
But storyteller-wise...
That's good enough for Mike.
I wouldn't say that it's good enough for me, but I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. Oftentimes, it's good enough for me in the same way that someone who doesn't know how to tell a story visually but is telling a good story is good enough for me. You know, I mean, I'm not going to.
But he's had so many years now. Surely you've figured out by now how to tell the emotional story by now.
I think he totally has, and I think you look at Alien, you look at Blade Runner. I mean, he's done that. You know,
well, when was the last time you were emotionally moved by a Ridley Scott film?
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably.
Who cares? That is an important question.
No. And then, I mean, if I were to answer that question, it would probably be Hannibal. You know.
I think last time we were Thelma and Louise. You know, it's like that long ago.
Oh, you hate him. You really hate that? Wow. Well, I don't hate him that much. I think that he's become a dumbass.
Like, in Prometheus, I had no emotional investment in any character whatsoever in this film.
Okay, all right.
Well, the problem there is that they don't act like people.
So, I guess, you know, taking it back a little bit further then, I mean, this is probably something which we should have touched on earlier, but... What about the Alien movies in general? I mean, what type of expectations were you going into with this movie, as an Alien movie? I mean,
well, I wasn't expecting aliens. I knew they weren't going to do like a marine movie with like, you know, action, etc. Mm-hmm. But I was expecting a something more significant,
profundity.
Yeah, something profound. I thought they're building up to something really profound.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But they never did.
They tricked you.
That's why I felt really, really let down. I felt that they tricked me.
Yep.
Are you a fan of the original Alien?
Not really, no. Okay. I admire the original Alien.
But Aliens you like?
Aliens I love.
And Alien 3?
Alien 3 I admire.
Alien Resurrection?
I hate.
And then Alien versus Predator?
I hate. That is what it is.
Oh, don't bother. Just, you can go ahead and say that you hate it. You don't have to qualify that.
Now, I'll just say this before we go to Max, but just so that, you know, everything's out there. Like, Alien, I do think is a fantastic movie, one of the best movies ever made. Aliens, same thing. I love both of those movies at this point, probably equally. And,
swinging the other way.
It's I go back and forth, really. I mean, for years and years, I said that Alien was the best, and now I go back and forth. But I do think both of those movies are two of the best movies ever made. And Alien 3, again, yeah, like you, I can admire it. Don't like the fourth one at all, and I enjoy watching the Alien versus Predator movies, even though I don't think that they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Max, Alien. I mean, well, Aliens is one of like the top films of all time, correct?
Yes, it is. And, I don't just think it; it's a fact.
Okay, but you're still very fond of the original Alien as well.
Oh, no question. The original Alien is a game changer. Is what it is. What it was more important than whether or not what it was good.
Okay,
and I think that it's actually pretty thin. When you get past what it meant for the genre of science fiction and the genre of horror, once you get past that, there's not a lot there. Because once you do the find and replace and make Jason an alien and make, you know, Crystal Lake a spaceship, it becomes Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a compliment to either franchise. But when you say that this was a basic by the numbers slasher film on a spaceship that had a really brilliantly conceived idea for a villain, like a really intricate alien, like biology that made a lot of like made a kind of conceptual sense, even if it was like super crazy bizarre. The depiction of that was super important, and it doesn't really matter that it was just Friday the 13th on a spaceship, because it proved that you could be imaginative in other directions. And it took somebody like Cameron to recognize all of the strength of that and then move forward into a different thing and use all of those tools in the same way that Ridley Scott used them to make a good movie by any means necessary.
And I guess what you're saying there about what Cameron did by taking, you know, the seed of Alien and growing it into something more,
mm-hmm.
is something that I think a lot of people, myself included, thought that Scott would do with Prometheus.
But was foolish.
Okay, so you did not have any sort of preconceived notions that Prometheus was going to be even good?
No, when I first heard about this idea of Prometheus, it was you know, untitled Alien prequel, the motion picture. My feeling on it was, why are they doing a prequel? That's not a good thing. That's not a good sign. Prequel, that was a bad sign. That was a red flag. I had a red flag in my head. Yeah, prequel is always bad. Just like Gorn is automatic win.
Mm-hmm.
Prequel is automatic. Uh-oh. Lots of H's there. So I was not super excited about that. And then I saw that it wasn't going to be an Alien prequel. It was going to be this other thing called Prometheus. And I was like, that doesn't sound great. And based on the title and that it was originally an Alien prequel, I was like, they're doing ancient astronauts and aliens that made humanity somehow. That's not a great thing. They're going to screw that up because they always screw it up. And then I saw the trailer and I thought, wow, it looks like absolutely everything else. Like, shot for shot, it's beat for beat the same as every other science fiction movie that comes out. And I was really dismayed, not because I thought, oh, tragedy, they're ruining the franchise. I thought, oh, can we not have good movies anymore? Is that how it works? Is the only way for us to get a good movie to have somebody like Christopher Nolan, who the studio trusts so much that they're willing to let him do something insane? Is that the only way we can get it now? Is Ridley Scott now, because he's had a few misses, not capable of having, you know, a movie that's good, whether you like it or not? Apparently, that's not the case. Apparently, he decided to make this thing, and nobody disagreed with him. And that's why I have a hard time saying that Lindelof is depicted in this well, because I think that Lindelof actually was probably bullied a lot by the tyrant that we call
Ridley Scott. I don't think Lindelof was bullied. I think Lindelof just caved in to whatever Ridley Scott wanted and went with it.
Yeah, I don't think that Ridley Scott has to be, you know, actually actively bullying. I think that just being in that situation.
This whole Prometheus endeavor, I think I have more respect for John Spates. I think John Spates did something original.
Yeah.
And got shoved aside. That's all it was.
Look, the thing is, it's just how it goes. I mean, the studios are terrible with screenwriters. They swap people in and out. It's like a game, you know? It's like, oh, that guy did a good thing on that thing that he cares a lot about. Maybe we can get somebody else to do it better.
Yeah, but I think John Spates put the most effort in this, more than Ridley Scott and more than Damon Lindelof.
Yeah.
And he got shoved aside, and, man, I hope he does well for himself afterwards.
Well, there do seem to be a lot of people like you who appreciate the work that John Spates has done. And, I think because of that, there'll be people, you know, sort of in the know who give him another shot. So we've talked about how Ridley Scott had, you know, control over it, and how Spates had a lot of what exists it came from Spates's draft. With all of these cooks in the kitchen, can you still see Lindelof's touch? I mean, even if you hadn't...
That's the problem. I can't. All I see is the negative stuff in this film is from Lindelof.
Okay. Well, I mean, is that Lindelof's touch? I mean, can you see it that way?
Does Lindelof suck?
Well, unless Lindelof's just following Scott's direction.
I think he is.
You think he is?
I think he is. I think that when you're Damon Lindelof, and like, let's be fair here, he's been very successful, but he is still
a gun new. For hire.
He's still new. Yeah, he's still a new guy. He's still also a gun for
but
hire.
But you had like a hit series with Lost. Surely
he had a hit series, but TV and feature film, sci-fi blockbuster, these are different leagues.
I think the important thing to understand here, I think that Max is onto something, is he worked on Lost for years and years and years. He's jumping into feature films, and he is sort of getting his feet wet. He makes Cowboys and Aliens with his friends. He comes on to a high-profile science fiction franchise movie, which already has a script in existence, and he rewrites it.
And they've already eliminated one of the writers because they wouldn't do right.
Well, who knows why exactly? But
most likely because he wasn't getting what he wanted.
That could be whatever, you know. I mean, and now, you know, okay, we've got the Star Trek sequel this year, which is another, you know, sort of, you know, prior commitment in a sense. I think Tomorrowland is going to be our first look at what Lindelof. Pure Lindelof is in feature film form.
The platonic ideal of Damon Lindelof.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see that, you know, once it does pop up. So, any final thoughts on Prometheus, Mehul?
No, disappointing still. Could have been great, but it wasn't.
Okay, and Max?
It's a hate crime.
It's a hate crime. Okay. And for me personally, I am still very fond of it. I can watch that movie and completely enjoy it. But at the same time, I do see the flaws, and I see more flaws every time I see it. And ultimately, it's an imperfect work. That's about it for this week. Thanks for joining us, Mehul. You can find more of you talking over on our show. As always, you can find us at our website on commentarytrackstars.com, where you can find our other show, where you can hear Mehul talking to us about all sorts of movies. And
two or three of them good.
You can find us on Twitter at ComTrackStars. You can email us at ComTrackStars@gmail.com. You can also check us out over on Trek.fm on the forums. You know, why not? Say something nice about us. Or say something nice about us on iTunes, because we always forget about that. But apparently that would actually do us more good than anything
else. It's really good, because that's where I found you guys.
All right. See, there you go.
Yeah, there's something to do with the iTunes rankings that neither I nor Mike understand.
Right. But go say
apparently
nice
it's good.
Us. Yeah, apparently it's good. And we will be back next week with our wrap-up to this short series on Damon Lindelof as a movie writer.
If you want us to do a longer series on Damon Lindelof as a writer, tell him to do more.
Yes.
Come on.
All right.
It's not our fault.